Hear that? So we'll open it up to questions.
Johnny, idiot face over there is never going to bring you a title.
This guy sucks.
Cliff Kingsbury gets me hot and bothered, and I love it. There, I said it. That was from a man.
I'm a 4-3 wide receiver. Why should I play at Michigan?
You are?
That was a clunk. There's not much I can do about that.
You can't be serious.
So on the surface, this is not going to sound like there's anything out of the ordinary. I'm looking right now at a picture of the Alamo Bowl champions rings that Oklahoma State made. They won the Alamo Bowl. They clubbed Colorado 38-8 to win that game. The side just says 2016. It has the Alamo Bowl logo, and under it, it has 11-2. This seems fine, right? Teams get bowl rings. This is what happens a lot of times to celebrate a great season. Nothing out of the ordinary. Can you spot, though, Grant, what the issue is here? Or do you already know the story?
I don't know the story yet. I want to pull up the picture of the rings now, though.
You don't. I'll just tell you right now. You don't need the visual.
Okay.
The problem is 11-2. And problem maybe is debatable. You can say what you want about it. If you go look at Oklahoma State's season results right now from 2016, you're going to find that Oklahoma State lost three games. Losses to Baylor, Oklahoma, and Central Michigan. But if you remember, there was controversy in that Central Michigan game. They completed a crazy Hail Mary, just all sorts of wildness going on that last play to win the game against Oklahoma State when they had trailed by three before that score. The play should not have counted because there was a rule mistake. The game should have been over the play before. And that was admitted afterwards, if we can all remember that controversy. So really, Oklahoma State should have won the game, but they were not able, allowed within the rules, to go back and change that result. So they still had to take the loss. Mike Gundy, so much so, wanted to stick up for his team technically winning that game. He went ahead and gave the executive decision there to make the ring say 11-2 instead of 10-3. That is a bold move.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. Wow. I like it, though.
I actually do, too.
I do.
I actually do, too. Here's. I don't think this is referring specifically to the rings here, but this was a quote from him at one point during the season. He said, if you're not willing to go back and say we're going to correct the error, then give us both a win. That was what he was advocating for. And he says, when you look at it for our players, a critical error should not affect them. I try and do what's right for my players. If I didn't, I wouldn't want to play for me. So sticking up for your players, like, that's fine. This is just a ring that's going to be going to the team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any issue with it at all. If that's the way that you guys want to treat it and handle it, totally fine with it. Probably got him some kudos with the players, which I'm sure helps.
I like it. Something that probably would have never been brought up, but Sarasota Tennis Open.
This is awesome.
So crazy. Was interrupted. I think this was, it was on Tuesday night. So last night it was interrupted by noises of sex. And even if on the video footage, the play-by-play guy, you hear him saying, first he thinks it's a phone.
Yeah, he thinks it's somebody's phone, which is almost as funny as the whole instance of it in and of itself.
And then he ends up saying, actually, I think it's from an apartment across the lake, which, I mean, it makes sense. Water carries noise further than land does. So apparently this noise of sex came through the windows of this apartment across the lake and into this Sarasota Open Stadium and interrupted the match. Even the guy, like even the players were laughing and chuckling. And at one point, one of the players yelled, "It can't be that good."
That was another very funny part there. Yeah, that, you know, like I was sitting there trying to listen to it. I had it cranked up in the headphones and it's hard. They act like, and I know the play-by-play guy at one point says, I don't know if you can hear this as well on TV as we can hear. I don't think you could. Like, yeah. I could hear it faintly, but it didn't sound like anything that would really be necessarily interrupting everything. But everybody there acted like it was clear as day.
Yeah.
So I don't think we got the full effect. But that was the funniest part then. After it goes on for like 2 minutes and a couple different points in the match, the one guy who's getting ready to serve just lets out a, "It can't be that good." Which is very funny. I would never think that you were going to have a sporting event interrupted by that. And I they have a map, too. They show an overhead map of the complex, at least on the story that was written up about it. And it looks like they're pretty far away. I mean, like, that noise carried a long ways.
Yeah.
It carried a long
It's ridiculous.
Long ways.
I like the shot, too, of the mother that's trying to tell her son to cover his ears. That, yeah. That was pretty good, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's good camera work. That is good camera work. Well, that's going to do it for the show today. I assume that some of the normal crew is going to be back tomorrow. Mitch will not be, but I believe Tyler should be back tomorrow, so be a little more normal. Appreciate Grant's work filling in. For Grant Flanders, I'm John Kurtz. Thanks for listening to The Game.